Right back at you for the fastest hour in hockey. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jen Rolnick. We're live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. Closing out the week, and what a week it's been. All four teams get a game under their belt in the Four Nations face-off.
Four nations have faced off, you would say?
They have. Four faces have nationed off.
Four teams catch their breath tonight and go right back at it Saturday, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, before the big anticipated matchup between Canada and the U.S.
Rivalry day. Sammy, we go to you.
How you feeling, Sammy?
I am cripplingly nervous about this. It's not just because of the game last night. Thought USA looked good. Thought Canada looked good in their first game.
Is it a Toronto Maple Leaf Game 7 kind of feel?
It's way higher.
Way higher?
Way higher.
I was shocked to hear that, too. I asked him the same question.
Really?
The stakes for this are different.
What are the stakes? All I know is it's like...
They're
playing for a made-up trophy that was like manufactured 3 weeks ago.
Kipper, that take is so far out the window, brother.
Why? Like, why, just, though?
I think with you're a Leaf fan, you're kind of going in expecting the worst, and you're sort of expected to lose, and everybody's kind of expecting you to lose. As a Team Canada hockey fan... you're expected to win, and the pressure of expecting to win is almost a bigger one than expecting to lose. And USA looked great last night. There's some intensity in the game. There hasn't been a high-stakes Canada-USA best-on-best in a really long time. I have not been looking forward more to a hockey game than this in 11 years.
What's the difference between this Canada and U.S. game compared to the one in 2016 in Toronto?
That team kind of stunk, and Canada ran them pretty good.
Either team had all their best guys. Connor McDavid wasn't on our team. You didn't get to say our best guys played your best guys.
Okay.
I don't think that team wasn't very good. That was kind of in the middle of them changing their era, and it was just kind of a mishmash of guys. Canada handled them easily. This is a different story. This is what they've been working towards for 10 years for two countries. A lot of trash talk for 10 years about this, and it's happening tomorrow night. And it could happen again on Thursday.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a big, big hockey game.
We've got an abbreviated version once again here on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show, which means that we'll find a Doug McLean who's bailed on us on a number of occasions. He's either been on the IR or he chased Shania Twain in Vegas.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to track him down here in a couple of minutes. So we'll get to him real quickly. And then 4:35, we got a Canada line, don't we?
5:35, yes. It's 5:35, yeah. We do. I have about 8 or 9 different callers. We might not be able to get to all of them, but some stuff on the Four Nations, a couple Leaf ones sprinkled in there. Sorry, Vancouver, sorry, Calgary, but mostly Canada stuff, and we'll get all into it.
McKee said to me earlier, Kip, don't even play the game. Just flip a coin.
Yeah.
He doesn't even want to watch the whole process.
I have big plans to go out with like a big group of guys, and as we get closer and closer, I'm thinking about canceling to just watch at home in case they lose so I can turn it off.
So added to this real nervous feel for you, where are we in terms of, dare I say it, the political landscape of what has been going on between Canada and the U.S. and now how booing has become a bit of more than just a bit of a story here. It's become a bit of a focal point. Players have been asked about it. But where is that in the equation for you Saturday night?
I think it adds a ton to it. I think it adds a massive layer. The anthem was booed last night in Montreal when it's Finland and USA. Mm-hmm. Can only imagine how much louder the boos are going to be on Saturday night. And I don't have any problem with it. If I was in the building and had a couple Molson exports, guess what, boys? I'd probably be booing too. So it's going to be I think that's what kind of adds to this political climate, how good these two teams are, the sort of hate for each other that USA and Canada does have in hockey anyway. You can't have a bigger game than what's tomorrow night. Like, it's the biggest thing ever, to me, at least.
Do you buy the players that want to try to separate the game from the political scope?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to, too. I would love for us to just focus on the hockey game, and I think we will, by and large. But there's no avoiding the political confrontation that's happening right now. And, you know, as I've said to you guys and I said to you before the show, I think it's okay. I don't think it's a huge deal. You know, I don't think You know, we'll get more into it in the back half of the show. I know we have Doug waiting for us, so I won't go into my whole take, but you know, I think people with well within their rights to voice their opinion.
All right. The man, the myth, the legend, Doug McLean, former NHL president, GM, and head coach, returns to Off the Rail Fridays once again. It disappeared on us. I got to be honest with you. Like, I'm getting, every time you're not on, I get flooded with, where's Doug? Where's Mac? It's not helping us.
When you used to go in and play on the road against tough guys and you used to get real butterflies in your stomach because you were scared to death?
Yes.
I had butterflies in my stomach for 8 days, and it was called diverticulosis.
Oh, no, really?
Whoa.
And but you know what? I'm down a crisp 8 pounds. I'm down to my fighting weight. I feel good. I go down to the pool now, and the women at the pool say, man, you look good. I said, well, I've been in bed for 8 days to get looking this good. I've been in bed for 8 days. Like, give me a break, you know? So okay.
Is that because you were too busy in Vegas running around like you're 22 years old?
Well, you know, we did go to Shania Twain, which was a great concert. I was sort of caught off guard. I mean, I'm a Shania fan, but I mean, I really enjoyed it. Then we went to Nate Bargatze, the great comedian.
Wow.
And oh man, did we have a great night! 1,400 people in the auditorium at the Wind with Nate Bargatze. It was absolutely terrific. Then we went to a Vegas Columbus game, and actually George McPhee came over and sat with me for 20 minutes in the warm up, and we had a great chat. So it was kind of fun. Columbus were there, so I had a few Columbus fans come up and congratulate me on the great job I did there. You know, then they'd walk away and say, what a jerk he is. But no, we had a great time. But then I come home and I'll tell you what, it hit me. It's been a grind. It really has. So, I mean, as much as I enjoy doing this show, I haven't missed you.
I believe that.
No kidding.
And I don't, by the way, what's with Sam with all his aunt? Does Sam know my two kids are American? Like, you can't. Sam, you can't be a total, you know, I mean, come on.
So
Clark and you know.
So let's let's dive into that a little bit. I think the players are trying their best to kind of de-escalate all of that, and with good reason. They're hockey players. They have nothing to do with anything else, but you can't tell that to 18,000-19,000 Canadians in the stands, can you?
Look, I went to Vancouver to the World Junior. Okay, years ago, I'm trying to think. I would say it was around 2004, whatever year the World Junior was in Vancouver, and there was a rivalry between Western Canada and Ontario at the time, if you recall, and the Vancouver fans were booing the Canadian national anthem. So
great.
Why would I be surprised?
Right. That we're getting, not that big a deal. Not that
the
thoughtful.
Canadians were booing the national anthem. So. You know, I remember going to games in Montreal when the Quebec fans wouldn't stand up for the national anthem. But look, here's what bothers me about this whole thing. I understand we've got a new president. He's not the most popular guy you've ever run into. He does have a tendency to try to be a bit of a bully. I'm not a big fan of bullies. Although I have been called one the odd time myself. But anyway, like, here's what bothers me is, like, it's like every negotiation, and these are really tough negotiations. I get that. But you negotiate in good faith. You put your thing on. You don't stand there and threaten and make fun of people like Governor Trudeau, and we're going to take over Canada. Like, enough of the BS. Just get in and negotiate in good faith on both sides. Obviously, there's animosity between he and Trudeau for whatever reason. But look, it's like every negotiation, whether it's a National Hockey League contract or it's a property deal I'm trying to do in real estate. You negotiate in good faith and you give it everything you've got, but you don't act like children. And I'm really disappointed. I saw Elon Musk last night. You know, Kennedy's walking into the FDA for his first day on the job, Senator Kennedy, and he's got a picture of him walking, a guy walking in with a bat. And I'm thinking, like, I tweeted to Musk. I said, can we not act this way? Do we have to act so childish? Yeah. Go in. Hey, if your job and Trump, he campaigned on Elon Musk was going to look at the efficiency of the government. So go in and do it. But what's with all the shots and the burbs and leaking of all the information? Go in and do your job and then go back to Tesla. You know, seriously.
Yeah.
Enough already.
Doug, I think that's fantastic. And, you know, I carry an American passport. You know, I sit here and cheer for Canada. My dad played for Canada. I married an American myself, too. So got a lot of ties. But there's no doubt it's like, you know, threatening to take over the country makes some Canadians upset. And I think they're allowed to voice their opinion.
I don't blame Canadians for being upset when he comes with his smart ass comments. You know, I really don't like it. So and Trudeau at the same time, like he said some things, you know, over the past year that didn't sit well on the other side. Right. So enough already. Work in good faith and come up with the best deal that's good for both countries.
In saying that, international hockey that we've been accustomed to since really 72 series put it on the map was always personal. Mm-hmm. It was always about
Cold War,
our way of life versus their way of life. And we followed the trail, and I hope tomorrow night it is a little personal. I want to see it. I want to see that emotion. I'm not going to say I want to see, a Donnybrook here, but I expect between the Tkachuk brothers and a Brad Marchand and a Bennett, there's going to be some fireworks tomorrow night.
You know what? I it's funny. I had some great memories this week watching the first game and thinking of. I was playing in 1972. I was playing for the Montreal Junior Canadiens, and I remember being at Dave Logan, who was a great teammate, friend of mine. I was at his home watching that the 72 series and the goosebumps and the animosity and the hatred we had for the Russian players and watching that series. And then I'm sitting watching this overtime the other night, and I had goosebumps during that overtime with the plays that were going from end to end and the great scoring opportunity. But you know what? This is for a lot of these players, this, and we've seen it said, stated, this is their biggest game of their lives. The Tkachuks, I mean, I know the Stanley Cup is big, but when you're Canada versus U.S. and you know there's animosity there, it is real. And, you know, it's going to be great sportsmanship too, but it will be vicious on the ice, in my opinion. And I'm anxious. I like Team Canada's game. I'm nervous about their goaltending. I got to tell you, I'm really nervous about that. I need McDavid's line to show me more. I want more from Reinhart and McDavid and Marner. I know Marner had a good game, but I want more out of that line. We need McDavid like he was the last three games or four games of the Panthers series. He's got to take charge. I thought he sat back a little bit. I loved Sid's game, which is special. McKinnon's game at times, but the big boys have got to step up here, and I would be going after the U.S. blue line like nobody's business. I'd be pounding McAvoy and Fox and Werenski. I would be pounding them.
If McDavid did take a little bit of a step back because it just seemed like it was Sid Crosby's night, like you can't really blame him.
No, I'm not. Look, I'm as big a McDavid fan as there is, but I'm a bigger Sid Crosby fan since the kid was at Alan Andrews Hockey School at 10 years of age. I mean, I've been a huge fan of his. And you know what? It was special to watch him the other night. It really was special at 37 years of age. Okay, I need some 27-year-olds to take a step. That's what I need for this game. And they're capable of it. You'd never criticize McKinnon. You'd never criticize McDavid because they bring it most of the time. I need Reinhart to bring it more. And some of these other guys have got to just bring it a touch.
So, Doug,
because I'll tell you what, the Tkachuks and Eichel are going to bring it. I guarantee you that.
So the Tkachuks are going to bring it. We know that's coming. We know that, you know, this game has been built up and there's this animosity, this great layer – of extra tension and all this physical play. How much should Canada get caught up in that? Do you want to see them being the aggressors on the Kachucks, or should they be focusing and trying to put the puck in the net more?
No, I just think that when you're playing a game like this and you can get energized off the forecheck, I love that as a coach and as a hockey guy. I love energy coming from the forecheck. And look, this is a mobile blue line that the U.S. have. And I think that they've got to play in their end as much as possible. I'm a little nervous about Binnington. I am. And I know he made some great saves when the game was on the line the other night. I'm just a touch nervous about him. That's all. Hellebuck, he's never been able to do it. But is he ready to come on? I mean, the goal last night was ugly. And then he steps up and makes a couple of big saves at key times. But I think the Canadians game, I wish Wilson was in the game. I'd like Scheifele to be in the game maybe, instead of a Jarvis and a couple guys, because I think forechecking has got to be really important.
Just the size, the reputation, like what is it the most that you're not thrilled with out of maybe Konechny or Jarvis?
You know, I they're really good players. Jarvis is a great player. I just found, you know, I think the Wilson component, as long as he stays focused, which he's been for most of the year, stays focused and brings that big body, I think it could be an element. Look, nobody can complain. I know Scheifele didn't make the team, but this guy has had an unbelievable job at Winnipeg this year. He's had an unbelievable season, and he's another big body type of guy that knows Hellebuyck well. But you know what? All credit to the guys that are on the team. They're all very good players. I know Hagel's a good player. I know Jarvis is a good player. Point's a good player. Marchand's a good player. But I just want to see more from the biggest guys. That's what I want to see. And that's Marner, Reinhardt, and McDavid for me. I need more from them.
So one of the strengths of the Americans, the back end, they've got goaltending and good D. Canada's D is kind of in a bit of a weird spot here, right? They're down a guy. Sanheim's coming in. What were your thoughts on game one and what to expect from game two? Makar, by the way, ill today. Thomas Harley, a name that is now being bandied about.
Yeah, Devon Taves, I mean, I see he was on the ice half the game, and I'm thinking, like, geez, where did this guy come from? Every time a defenseman had the puck, it was him. I mean, that's how short they were. They had to go, they had to use these guys, and he's a good player, and he's, you know, a great partner. A great defensive partner, but yeah, it's not as mobile as the blue line. Theodore is a big loss for them. He's a big loss because he's a puck carrier, and he creates from the back end, and he's got the big shot. They're banged up a little bit there.
You like Marchand and Bennett together?
I'm anxious to see Bennett. I really want to see Bennett get engaged. I really do. I want to see Bennett act against the Americans like he did against Marchand in the playoffs last year. Take that hatred he had for his line mate and bring it against the opposition tomorrow night, a couple of his teammates. But I'll tell you what, the Americans have a very good team. They have a very good team. They are talented. They're well coached with Sullivan. Cooper's a solid coach, and Tocchet. I think it's made for such great theater to watch this tomorrow night. And I know the clouds of Canada US is hanging over, which I know Sammy likes. I don't mind it. I want to see a great hockey game. And last night at times during Finland and U.S., I thought it was Buffalo and Seattle playing at times, you know.
Compared to Canada.
It didn't get it going for me last night. I was expecting to see Colson stepping up and, you know, but anyway, it didn't get my juices going. And then I went to bed before they put the Kachuk line together. So I missed any energy. Like, and I'm listening to the Canadian media Pierre LeBrun saying, I knew the guys would be so pumped for this. I knew they'd bring it. I'm thinking, bring it? This is Buffalo in Seattle on a Christmas night. Give me a break. I knew they'd bring it. Bring it then. I'm going to bed if they don't bring it.
I thought Matthews and Jack Hughes looked good, relatively speaking. The fact that they only got one assist each, but there seemed to be some magic there.
Oh, there's great magic there because they're just, I mean, Nick, remember when we coached Jack Hughes in the Bantam midget, yep. in the whatever it was, the midget.
Did you guys?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's cool.
And he was on my bench, and I remember him being on my bench as a 15-year-old, and I'm watching this kid. I was coaching the game, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, how good is this kid? And you know what? He's the same player in the NHL as he was in that Bantam game that night, the prospects game. He was so talented. He and Matthews, Quinn, they all seem to sit back a little bit because when they're with their own team, they know they're the guys. They're the go-to guys. And there's always a little hesitancy when you're around all these superstars. Saturday night, I want to see them all take that big step on both sides and give us just a wonderful game.
I will ask you in a little bit about the goaltending, but I want to ask you about chemistry in a tournament like this. The U.S. off the ice has had a couple of things. One is Austin Matthews making a fat joke about Bill Guerin, who then called and threatened to cut him. You know, they're playful. They got a Ruzioni out there, another Miracle on Ice guys. They got the Johnny Gaudreau jersey. There seems to be a real bond quickly with the American team. Do you believe that sort of thing can make a difference in a short tournament?
Nobody likes to be called fat.
I didn't do it.
Where's the chemistry in that?
I mean, look at me at the pool today. I'm walking around down 8 pounds. I feel like $1 million, you know, I mean, no, Billy Guerin doesn't want to be, he is a little chunky. He could push away a little bit, but you know, I'll tell you what's the magic with Team USA and the chemistry. I'm so happy about it is the whole Johnny Gaudreau thing. Man, I watched Matthews present the jersey last night, or I watched the highlight of him presenting the jersey. That means a lot to those players to be presented the Johnny Gaudreau jersey after a game. And you just saw the pride in Matthews, and you saw the pride in Tkachuk, and you saw the pride in everybody in that room. So, you know what? It's really good to see, but it's going to come down to, you know, a great hockey game. I mean, I get excited. I watched a game on the NHL Network in Summerside PEI the other night, Canada against the USA in the women's game, and it was the final game of that rivalry series, and I thought, God, I'm kind of really enjoying this, you know, mm-hmm. This takes it to a whole nother level. Every time the jerseys are on their backs, it means a lot.
You know, we liked having Billy Guerin on the show, but I don't think he's coming on ever again.
No, we kind of ruined it there. Billy,
you crushed us right now with Billy Guerin, one of our better guests.
I guess Matthews is giving a birthday cake to someone who said keep it away from Guerin or something like that.
Look, and listen, I go to coffee with Dale Talon and Rimmer and these guys here, and like, you know, they've had a great, I missed out on 10 years of the steaks on the road every night and the buffet. You know, I mean, these guys, you know, it's part of the deal. You know, you eat a lot. And
it's the Never Hungry League. That's the.
And look, I'm going over to the beach after. Jill and I are going over. We're going to have a little picnic on the beach with a bottle of wine.
Yeah, you're going to look for those 8 pounds that you lost.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's the life, you know, and I don't, you know, it's too bad, but he is a little chunky, Billy. He's not at his playing weight. We know that.
Can you get him on goaltending and get him off Billy Guerin,
Billy,
please?
Didn't start on Saturday.
By the way, that was a low blow you gave Hitchcock the other day about having four golf balls in his pocket when he plays golf.
Well, listen, I wouldn't have come up with it unless you... You know, text me. Stop texting me.
I wish I wish you would have told him it was me that said it, because I've experienced it. He's the only guy I've ever played golf with that has never lost a golf ball. He goes in the woods. I found it.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. Billy Garen, Hitch. Anyone else you want to take a run at?
Oh, no. Okay. Binnington, Saturday night.
Yeah.
Binnington?
You're okay with Canada not making a goalie switch Saturday night?
You know what? You got to come back with Binnington. You know, he won, and he made some big saves when the game was on the line. I think you got to come back with him. And Hill, I mean, I don't hardly know Aiden Hill. I mean, you know.
All right.
That's all we needed. Thanks.
I mean, it's not like goaltending's their strength. I got to say that. But Binnington stood in there well the other night. I got to give him full mark. He's won a Stanley Cup. Let's see what happens.
All right. Anything else on USA Canada?
Anywhere else you want to take them, or did he just crush us?
I'm glad you seem so. You seem well.
Yeah, you seem like you're back, right? You're crusty. You got a bit of a chip on your shoulder. You're back.
You know what? When I'm at the pool and I was down doing some swimming there before the show, and I'm trying to explain to people why I have to go up at 5 o'clock and do this. And and I said, well, I'm going up to do a radio show, but it's also a TV show and it's a hockey show. And like, they're blanked out by the time I'm finished trying to explain what the hell I'm doing, you know?
Well, listen,
and they really don't care.
Just invite them up to your place Saturday night. The buzz at your building must be huge for this Canada US game.
They don't even know it's on. They don't know it's on.
Hey,
but they
you're
do
an ambassador.
They know about the tariffs. They don't know about the whatever it's called. What's it called? The series?
Four Nations.
They don't know about the Four Nations, but they do know about the tariffs.
They know their tax. Yeah, tariffs on at least Four Nations coming up.
All right. Just like that, you're done. Go back to the pool.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
That is Doug McLean in fine form today on the Real Kipper and Bore Show.
Really good, really insightful, really positive, and then he just set ablaze two bridges for us as guests.
Yes. Yeah.
Two of our favorites. Yeah. Like, if I were to rank them, probably both top five guys.
And more Americans know about it because I think they did about a million people down there?
Yeah, apparently. I saw on Twitter this Wednesday game. For Canada-Sweden, there was apparently a million people watch, which is that good?
TNT numbers, is that what we're talking?
I just saw a rate on Twitter. It was,
I mean, they got 333 million people down there, so it's not quite.
Yeah, I mean, we're not really vying for the audience in New Mexico.
No, but the whole purpose is growth, and reach. And if a game like Wednesday and hopefully tomorrow night can get people to watch again and be engaged, then that's what this is all about.
The start of more reach. And we're going to hear from some callers today. And, God, we've had them from all over the globe so far.
It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So the two games on for tomorrow. The 1 p.m. game, I mean, it's a wonderful appetizer to the evening game. Finland and Sweden.
Prime time in those countries, by the way.
Good. Finland, I thought it was closer than a 6-1 finish. Thought they held up valiantly for the first two periods.
No.
They did, Kipper. What are you talking about?
No defense, bud. No.
No, they don't. But, like, they held, for who they're playing against with that decor, I thought they had a pretty prideful two periods.
And Saros,
and then
no
Saros,
good.
He killed them in
Saros
the first
had a tough
period.
No good.
The last two killed them. Anyway.
Really hard when you're a team. What's one thing? Really hard when you're a team who needs every body that you have and you're missing Heiskanen and Ristolainen. Yeah. Tough.
That's your top pair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Finland is a underdog against Sweden, as you would imagine, but not that big a one. Plus 175 against Sweden. Sweden's minus 210. Don't mind the Sweden by more than one. -1.5, plus 135. Get a plus number on Sweden. Were you going to say something there, Kim?
Yeah, there's talk that Rantanen is not great either. So I don't know if he's going to be a game time decision.
I thought
or
he looked
what.
Pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That line to me had their moments.
He's not, he's far from 100%.
Is he? Yeah.
They're heavy below the dots, that line. Anyways, and then the big game in the evening, USA versus Canada, -105 for the States on the money line, -115 for Canada on the money line. Really close line, as you would imagine. I really don't know. I would never in a million years bet on this game. I don't need those stakes. But if you want to bet on something for goal scorers, I love Connor McDavid to score in this game. I think Doug nailed it there. He's going to be more assertive. He's going to be really fired up for this game. Give me an anytime Connor McDavid goal at +200. And if you wanted to look a little bit further down the list, how about Sidney Crosby to score a goal against USA? He's USA's hockey grim reaper. So give me a Sidney Crosby goal +300.
You have a bunch of guys. You have Braden Point on there.
I got everything in front of me here. Braden Point, anytime goal. As I'm trying to pull it up here, I'm looking. He's +260.
Point played 14 and changed the first game. I expect he'll get more minutes.
I would imagine it'd be more, too. So that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, let's take a quick break. And when we return, we're going to Sammy's Canadian or Canada hotline. Your voice, your thoughts, even crazier than Sammy's, will be heard after the break. You're watching and listening to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Blake Murphy.
And I'm Matt Bonner.
Join us weekday mornings at 11 as we break down all things Toronto Raptors.
It's the Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Take two. We are back. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. If you're just joining us by chance and did not hear Doug McClain, give it a download, watch it on YouTube. He was in fine form.
Doug was quite ill for a while. I'm glad he looks well. He's feeling good.
Emotionally or physically?
Well, he's physically better.
Yeah.
That's all we can ask, 50% there.
And when you're coming in off a couple compliments at by the pool, that'll heat you up anytime. You know, like you're just feeling good. Feel good, play good,
baby.
By the way,
Nate Bargatze, that's a good stand-up show to go to. I'm jealous of that.
Yes.
Good for him.
Nate Bargatze.
Me too.
Hilarious.
Hilarious, yeah.
Doesn't even swear. It's amazing.
All right, Sammy, what do you have for us?
All right, I guess we went from the Canada line, I mean, from the Leaf line to the Canada line. We're now in the National Hour. Let's start with Costas from Oakville.
Opa! Now, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller to the show, love the show. Last night, watched the U.S. game versus Finland, and the Brady, the Kachuk boys, rather, had a big game, even though a couple of goals were stinkers. Regardless, sticking with the brother topic, if the Leafs were able to add a pair of brothers, and they had a choice between the Tanev brothers and or the Shen brothers, which one would be a better fit for them and take them further in the playoffs? Would adding Shen's offense and destabilization, playing with Riley on the back, help? Or would keeping Tanev and adding his brother and making the top six a little bit better? Anyways, think about it, and I would be wondering what you would think.
Yasu Costa, Lavendi.
I had to play that one.
It's a great question. Are the Leafs better with Chris Tanev and Brandon Tanev or with Luke Shen and Braden Shen?
Luke Shen, Braden Shen.
Yeah.
Because you have Braden Shen.
Yeah. I mean, you'll block more shots with the Tanevs.
Yeah. Chris Tanev to Luke Shen is a step down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Pretty significantly.
Yeah.
But Braden Shen.
That's the thing with Luke Shen is that, you know, myself have asked for him. I'm a card-holding member of Luke's troops. I love Luke Shen. But, you know, the idea of him, it's been 2 years since he's been here,
and he's
right?
More expensive now.
And he's more expensive, and it's like maybe lost even a step playing in Nashville. We'll see, but I don't know.
Top priority is got to put the puck in the net when you need it and when your big boys aren't doing it. And that's got to be the focus of the Maple Leafs.
Feels like Braden is going to get traded only because I'm seeing his name surface in other fans' bases. Maybe they're just other fan bases are salivating over potentially adding someone that awesome.
Let's go to Jake in Vancouver via Burlington.
My question for the group is based on all the talk that's about the matchup between Canada and the U.S., talking about the players, talking about the goalies, which team is better, which team is the better matchup. So what I'm wondering is, does either team have an advantage in the coaching matchup? Is one coach clearly better than the other? And if so, how much does that advantage actually impact the outcome of the game? Would love to hear your thought.
Well, both of them have great reputations, Mike Sullivan and Cooper. So, it can influence it, but ultimately, does it mean that, you know, at the last second, you've got somebody on the ice that you could have easily had somebody else, and then hindsight's 20/20, but it's such a fine line for me. Both of them are well established. Both of them could coach any of my teams if I ever had a team. There's just no definitive answer saying Cooper's just way better.
What's actually really hard in hockey is you don't always know what the choice is being a coach is facing. Like in the NFL, it's 2nd and 12 from the 42-yard line, and all the fans can go, here's what they should do, here's what you can be thinking, whatever. On the bench, you don't really know, this guy's skate blade is getting replaced right now. He's gassed after a long shift. These two aren't clicking tonight. Guy's in the penalty box. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really tough for us to real-time assess how a coach is doing. So to me, these two guys are great coaches. They've both won Stanley Cups. Their teams respect them. I think they're the two longest-tenured coaches in the NHL. Yeah.
That seems right. Yeah. Bednar? So, he's in there.
But either way, it'd be impossible to say one has an advantage over the other. You know, I love Coop because I love his interviews, and I think he's a thoughtful guy. Don't hear from Sullivan as much, but really tough to know.
There are, like, those little details that you don't necessarily watch either, and matchups are big. We know what they've meant over the course of the history of our game, and there's a feel for it, and there's tendencies where sometimes we saw U.S. go to the Tkachuk brothers with Jack Eichel, right, in the latter part of the game. There seems to be some magic there. There's line changing, too, when to do it, when to get an offensive zone face-off with certain guys.
Mm-hmm. When discipline, to go back to a line that was just
discipline.
Out there.
I'm watching the discipline on Canada Wednesday night on line changes, like minute off. There's no 2.5 minutes. There's no one hanging out there. Like, the roster's too good for you to be sucking wind out there longer than a minute and 10 seconds.
Yeah, no excuse in these
and
ends.
That's where your coaches are like, no excuses, guys. Good line changes.
Here's one thing I don't know is who or how are they deciding who is the home team in these games? Is it while they're in Montreal? I believe it's Montreal.
No, and Sweden was the home team in the first game. So they... Okay. I don't know how they determine that, but
interesting.
If I'm Finland, I'm like, how do you determine that I play Thursday and then 1 o'clock Saturday?
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Like Canada goes Wednesday night, Saturday night.
Yeah.
Because too bad, I guess. But
oh, listen, we all know. Like,
by the way,
this thing's built for Canada and the U.S.
They want Canada.
We don't want you to do well.
Okay. Just to be clear.
We're
not worried about equality.
We don't really care about you.
Yeah.
It should have been the two nations face-off.
Did you see the schedule coming out of this? And I know this is not our Leafs hour, but the Leafs play on Saturday. So they play Thursday night this game. Leafs will play Saturday. You'll have Marner and Matthews with a day off between. Someone celebrating. And Connor McDavid's team, the Oilers, play at 1 o'clock on Saturday in Philly. So, I mean, presumably they'll have a couple of Mick Ultras after winning a title or after losing a title.
So Canada goes Saturday night, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And then Monday. Monday at 1.
Yep.
And then
Thursday.
So Monday
at 8.
Monday to Thursday's... So there's some recovery there.
That Thursday night, though, win or lose, the boys booze.
Yes.
That's just the way it's going to be. They're together. So they're going to wake up Friday morning at whatever time, and then Connor's going to catch a plane to Philly. And I mean, I'm just saying it kind of sucks.
Hey, listen, you're doing this so you can make $20 or $25 million one day.
Right? Absolutely.
Outside of that, and maybe knocking on doors to deliver season tickets is what you wanted.
Leafs, if I were the Leafs, Marner and Matthews wouldn't play on Saturday and maybe not Sunday because they have a back-to-back. I don't know if they would play that right away.
Depends.
Yeah. And just to the coaching point, the first real adjustment I get, I guess, for Cooper outside of the in-game thing where he put the Lightning together, looks like Bennett is drawing in for Konechny.
Yeah.
So
give us ourselves a pat on the back for calling that yesterday.
A little bit of a crash and bang situation. If you have, Marchand, Bennett, and Jarvis out there against the Kachucks, it could just be an explosion of gloves and sticks.
I said it's like, is it Diet Coke and Mentos? Is that what it is? Just Coke and Mentos? It's like, good luck, boys.
Go ahead.
No, I'm thinking probably McDavid would go up against
the Kachucks.
Yeah, for sure.
Jack Eichel.
Well, there, that's
I don't
the
know
best line.
If I would, if I had last change, I don't think I would do that. I think you'd rather have, was it McKinnon's playing with?
Yeah.
Sid and Stone.
I'd rather put them out there against the Kachucks, I think, and try to free up Marner and Reinhardt a bit.
Let's go to Jake in Toronto.
First off, Sammy, Kipper, Borny, great hair, great salad, all three of you, fantastic, elite. My question here today is, what player over the past, we call it, what, 8 years, that we haven't had best on best, what Canadian player has missed out the most? Would love to hear your thoughts. Love the show. Shout out to my wife, Courtney, and her mom, Linda, who listen every day and watch. Anyways, great stuff, guys. Take care.
Big Valentine's Day guy there, Jake. That's a huge move. One. Yeah. Big one. Attaboy.
Yeah. I'm going to get your answer.
Sid.
Who missed out?
Sid.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the question. Like, who didn't get to go to one that...
I'm thinking Stamkos right now.
Good one. Very good one.
Okay, that's the one that...
That's the highest scoring Canadian
The age of his prime Stamkos years missed the window.
So going back 8 years, the top scoring Canadians who aren't in an event that we're missing, Jonathan Huberdeau, Mark Scheifele, Claude Giroux, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Matt Barzal, Marchessault, Duchesne. Duchesne was in one.
Stamkos, I feel bad for.
Stamkos is the guy. Because the rest of it, it's, you know, McDavid, McKinnon, Marner, Marchand, the guys that are here. But there's guys who just missed out on getting to wear the jersey.
I guess my Sid thought was like...
Stammer did wear the jersey, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess his legacy is already so ironclad that it doesn't necessarily it doesn't necessarily matter. But like having the potential to have two more gold medals in, like, that puts you from on the Mount Rushmore to potentially like on the left side of the Mount Rushmore. Like that's like you're just behind Gretzky kind of thing.
But I totally agree with you. But did Claude Giroux ever wear a Team Canada jersey at a big event?
I don't think so. He was supposed to in 2014. Everybody thought he would go in 2014.
They 10th ended up... highest scoring Canadian over the last years. Never got to play for Canada. He'd have been in on many of the rosters. I think he probably was in the Olympics that they canceled.
I don't think they hadn't named a team yet.
No, they hadn't named it officially, yeah.
So,
anyway.
Good question, Jake.
Great question.
Let's go to Joe from Mitchell.
Just had a comment about your talk this week about having international hockey every other year. I remember back in the 80s and early 90s, it did get a little stale with the Challenge Cup and Rendezvous 87. Somebody like Scott Morrison or even Gord Stellick could give you a little bit more insight, because I know the players even got a little bored with it. Second thing, Canadian defense without Shea Theodore. Back in 76, the Canada Cup, Canadian team, probably the best Canadian team ever built, played two games, and then they lost Jimmy Watson. They played the rest of the tournament with only five guys. But those five were Bobby Orr, Dennis Potvin, Larry Robinson, Serge Savard, and Guy Lapointe. So pretty good guys to carry on a tournament. And Bobby Orr won the MVP that year, so... Just those two comments. Keep doing a great job, guys. Love watching in the afternoon. Okay, see ya.
Appreciate that.
See, he makes a good point, too, because part of the appeal of Wednesday night is the fact that we haven't had it in 8 years. We're all starving.
Because it's so rare.
We're starving for it. So it's like, whoa!
Yeah.
It was going so fast! And they're all together!
Yeah.
We've never seen that in, like, 9 years.
Yeah, totally agree.
That's part of it. Now you go from that to every other year.
Look at the Winter Classic. The Winter Classic was, my God, turn this on. This is incredible. Look at this.
So,
I'm just saying.
There will be.
They did eight in a year, and it was like.
Now outdoor international hockey's best.
don't hate it.
You're asking your best players every other year to give up 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Every other year.
Hey, Sammy just had a great point, though. If they had done at the Big House Canada-USA one game, could the NHL have made more money?
Listen, it should have been probably a rivalry series, 3 out of 5. Would have been better.
3 out of 5? Imagine they played 5 times. That would be insane.
Each other for 5 games.
Go back to your team.
Giroux was on the 2016 team.
2016 team, yeah, he was there. Yeah.
When they wore the worst jerseys they'd ever worn.
Nice of Finland to show up, but like, you know, there's still time, guys, if you want to go run on the beach.
Oh, Finland. You're being hard on Finland. That line of Barkov, Rantanen, and Lehkonen, I mean.
Not much juice.
That line?
Hey, they were good for 2 periods.
Yeah, they were okay. And well, Barkov's world class.
They were in it. And then Saros sewered them immediately, and they had enough left. But those 5 guys, it's the most absurd thing ever.
Oh, yeah. Just threw it to Bobby Orr.
Yeah. Let's go to Noah in Tennessee via New Brunswick.
My question has to do with Mitch Marner and more the thought process of not what maybe he'll learn from the players, but what do you think he's going to take away from John Cooper that maybe he brings back to the team? Do you think sitting under a coach like that, that maybe has a little more, I don't know, dynamic thinking will help him? Anyway, thanks, boys. I listen every day.
Well, first of all, he was under Cooper when he was – I don't know when he went to the World Championships, but he was with Cooper. I think they won a silver medal, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So he's experienced the whole John Cooper thing already.
Yeah.
But since then, Cooper has done all his winning in the NHL, right? He's won his cups and all that. Yeah, it can't be bad for him. Get another point of view, another fresh perspective from a guy who's had success. I imagine it would be a good thing. Cooper seems to like him a lot, too.
I think what he can bring with him is confidence. In the fact that playing almost, played the second most amongst forwards on one of the best hockey teams assembled in a really long time, got to be confidence. Let's go to a sophisticated Leaf fan from Pickering.
Anyway, I'm calling in the hopes that the following message gets out to the Team Canada fans that will be at the Canada-US game this weekend in Montreal. Instead of booing the U.S. anthem, which frankly isn't a good look, and maybe even fires up the U.S. team.
Mm.
How about all the fans just stay absolutely silent during and after the U.S. anthem? Imagine hearing a pin drop followed by the loudest pop, the loudest roar we've ever heard when the Canadian anthem starts. Anyway, great job, boys. Love the show. Take it easy.
I love that so much.
Sophisticated Leaf fan. It's a pretty sophisticated idea, buddy.
If you could coordinate that, I love that.
I would boo. I would 100% boo from there on Saturday night. But the thing that does terrify me, exactly what he said, is how much that just fires up those squirrely guys on America. That's a huge aspect of it for me, right? Like, those guys are going to go nuclear out there, and they're running around. That scares me.
Just every make your decision as a fan. You paid. You want to boo. You boo. You don't. It's way out of our hands.
Yeah, I think people are like, it's a reflection, poor reflection on Canadians or whatever. It's like,
give me a break.
It's some hockey fans.
We probably don't have time for anything more, I don't think.
So this is what I got at the end of the week. Hey, Kipper, I hope you're well.
Oh.
I love the Real Kipper and Bourne and McKee show.
Oh.
Seriously. I basically listen to every show on the podcast, working out, walking the dog. It's my soundtrack to winter. Anyways, I hope you guys try my Easy Monday t-shirts. So he sent us t-shirts. I gave you guys a couple.
Thank you.
Jeremy, you make a great point, and that is that we can be bought. So, like, if you're out there, or Jeremy, send us stuff. Right?
Absolutely. I love you, man. I am the most for sale anyone has ever been.
Okay, give me a score tomorrow night.
Oh my God, they're gonna score?
3-2 Canada.
Oof.
Regulation.
It's tough to pick a number different than that, honestly. I don't think anyone's better than anyone by a lot. So sure, 3-2 Canada's good.
Third period goal, slot tip, Sidney Crosby for the win, 3-2.
Our thanks to Doug McLean for finding us once again on a Friday, off the rails Friday, baby. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the game. We're back on Monday, 2 hours.